Now today in our Bible study, we are going to examine part of chapter 50 of the book of Genesis. At least we shall look at the closing verses of chapter 49 and the opening section of chapter 50. And by way of introducing these, I want to read to you one verse from the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 11. Verse 21. By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. I'm sure God will bless to us the reading of that little verse. Let us bow for prayer. Our Father, we bow our hearts in thy holy presence. We thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for the instruction that it gives us, for the help, for the comfort of the Holy Scriptures. We would ask thee now that thy blessing may rest upon every listener at this time. Grant that the Lord's name may be glorified as the result of this broadcast. We'll be careful to give thee the glory in his own precious name. Amen. And now we come to the closing episode, as it were, in the history of this great man. I read to you that verse from Hebrews 11 because this is the commentary by the Holy Spirit himself. He brings in, as it were, all the threads right to the very end, and he says, here is how that life came to an end. That day he blessed the sons of Joseph. And so he's seen blessing others, and then he worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. What a beautiful picture of an old man, a man who has learned to trust his God. And the last little exercise before he closed his eyes in death was to engage in worship. I asked you, could there be anything better? Could a man engage his closing moments in a better way than worshipping God? In fact, I'll put it another way. Is there anything in life of greater value than worshipping God? What is man's chief end? Isn't it to glorify God and to enjoy his presence forever? Jacob seemed to have learned that great truth, that he had to worship God. Now, with the passing of Jacob, the era of the patriarchs draws to a close. Covering a period of 307 years approximately, from the birth of Abraham to the death of Jacob. Now, after the burial of Jacob, the closing chapter of Genesis hurriedly passes over a period of 54 years from the death of Jacob to the death of his son Joseph. And then, of course, that's the end of Genesis. And when you come into the book of Exodus, the time is drawing near when God was about to deliver the people that descended from Jacob. He was going to deliver them from the land of bondage and bring them into the land of promise. But here in the book of Genesis, we're still looking at this man. Now, at the end of chapter 49, he is giving some directions to his sons. And then he's telling them what's to happen. He charged them and said unto them, I am to be gathered unto my people. Now, I think that's a wonderful way, a delightful way of telling them he's about to die. See how he expresses it. I am to be gathered unto my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre in the land of Canaan. That today is the town that you call Hebron. And if ever you visit that place, they'll be able to take you up to the burying ground, where you'll find that there are 6 people buried there. The first one to be buried there, of course, was Sarah. And then Abraham was buried there. And then Rebecca was buried there. And Isaac, her husband. And then Leah was buried there. And now Jacob is making preparations to be buried there. It's a very remarkable thing, I suggest to you, that Jacob was buried with Leah and not with Rachel. They can show you Rachel's tomb just outside the town of Bethlehem. On the way going towards Bethlehem, there is Rachel's tomb. You remember she died there before they reached Bethlehem, when she gave birth to her second boy, who was called Benjamin. But now, when Jacob is to be buried, he makes preparations and he tells them, gives them instruction, and they're to bury him in the cave of Machpelah. There he'll be buried with his fathers, Abraham and Isaac. And also there is Sarah and Rebekah and also Leah. Now then, the preparation for that burial. There may have been a number of reasons why Joseph adopted the Egyptian custom and had his father's body embalmed. But let us give credit to Joseph and assume that he desired to honor his father with the very best when paying his final respect with a dignified burial. And so in the opening verses of chapter 50, you have this great scene in preparation for the burial. And Joseph fell upon his father's face and wept upon him and kissed him. And Joseph commanded his servants, the physicians, to embalm his father, and the physicians embalmed Israel. And 40 days were fulfilled for him, for so are fulfilled the days of those which are embalmed. And the Egyptians mourned for him 70 days. And when the days of his mourning were past, Joseph spake unto the house of Pharaoh, saying, If now I have found grace in your eyes, speak, I pray you, in the ears of Pharaoh, saying, My father made me swear, saying, Lo, I die. In my grave which I have digged for me in the land of Canaan, there shalt thou bury me. Now therefore let me go up, I pray thee, and bury my father, and I will come again. And Pharaoh said, Go up, and bury thy father, according as he made thee swear. So there's preparation for the burial. And Joseph seems to take full responsibility here. In plain words, he steps in and accepts the place of the firstborn, takes full responsibility for preparing for the great dignified burial. Now, I wonder at times when you read that Joseph fell upon his father's face and wept upon him and kissed him. You remember he hadn't seen his father for a good number of years, until his father came down, way back in chapter 46 of the book of Genesis. Israel took his journey with all that he had, and he came down into Egypt. And when he came down there, why, of course, what a reunion there was. And Joseph came out, and he met his old father, Israel, presented himself unto him, and he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. You know, I don't think Joseph was a sentimental man. Joseph had come through some very hard experiences. I never read of Joseph shedding tears for himself. He didn't weep for himself when he was passing through his times of trial. He didn't seem to pity himself one little bit. He seemed just to commend himself to the Lord and leave the issue with God. Yet, I do find times when Joseph shed tears. There's something touched his heart. You remember when he saw his brothers and he saw Benjamin, he wept. But he wept secretly then. He didn't want them to know. And then there came the time when he revealed himself to them. And when he revealed himself to them, oh, what a scene it was. While Joseph made himself known unto his brethren, and he wept aloud when he was revealing himself to his brethren. And then when his father came, and he fell on his father's neck then, and they wept. And now, at his father's deathbed, there's going to be a big loss here. You see, for the first 17 years of his life, Joseph was under the sheltering arm of his father. And for the last 17 years of Jacob's life, he was under the sheltering arm of Joseph. There was some kind of close affinity between Joseph and his father. They seemed to understand each other. And now, his father is being taken away. The time has come. Jacob is to be gathered to his fathers. That's the way of life, isn't it? A generation comes and passes, and another generation takes over. And so there comes the time when there's the last farewell. But it's always with a view of a reunion in the presence of the Lord. That is, if we know God and understand the resurrection. And so Joseph here, not because he's weak, not because there's anything effeminate about him. He was a man, but yet he could shed tears. I've pointed this out at different times in these studies. There's nothing childish about weeping, if the tears are for the right reason. Do you remember the Lord wept? He wept tears of sympathy at the tomb of Lazarus. He wept tears of sorrow as he looked over on the city of Jerusalem and thought of the stubbornness of the people who wouldn't come to him when he invited them. And then he wept in the Garden of Gethsemane, shed tears there of suffering. There's nothing wrong with shedding tears if they're shed correctly. The great Apostle Paul wept when he preached, and he wept again when he was leaving some Christians. So there are times when you've got to realize this, that shedding of tears may be right. Joseph here was not sentimental, I suggest to you, but he's thinking of the loss, and so he shed tears. Then, after the preparation for the burial, there's permission granted for the funeral. Because of Joseph's appearance, perhaps, during the days of mourning, you know, he could not present himself before Pharaoh. So it is obvious that someone in the position of authority presented the petition on behalf of Joseph. And it's obvious from the verses we have read that this petition was granted. So Joseph made the funeral journey into the land of Canaan. I ask you, in all fairness, what do you think would be the thoughts of Joseph and the thoughts of his brethren? Do you realize that the last time that Joseph journeyed on this road, it was when his brethren had sold him, and when he was brought down in the caravan to be sold as a common slave. He had often had pictures of going back to the land of Canaan. No doubt he pictured in his own mind going back to his father's homestead, but it hadn't turned out that way. His father had come down to the land of Egypt. He had cared for his father. Well now, here he's going back up there, but this time it's to bury his father. I wonder what would be the thoughts of his brethren. Oh, the last time that they came down there were the whole crowd of them with their caravans, and they were coming down there to be fed by Joseph, and they were taking their father down with them. But they must have thought of the other occasions when they came down there, not knowing that it was Joseph who was the Lord of the land. And perhaps their thoughts went back to the time when they sold Joseph. Oh, what strange thoughts they must have had, wending their way up into the land of Canaan, with this great funeral cortege, and they're going to bury their old father. A family reunion, you say, yes, but under strange circumstances. A family reunion at the burial of their father. And when they would get to the grave, remember this, the very place where they would bury their father, there also was the burying place of their grandfather and their great-grandfather. And as they thought of Abraham, their great-grandfather, as they thought of Isaac, their grandfather, and Jacob, their father, no doubt they would be reminded of the promises that had been passed on to them, that there was the land that was theirs by promise. God had said he would give them this land. Then look for a moment at the procession of mourners. This funeral procession was a very mixed and representative group. There were servants of Pharaoh's. There were elders of the house, along with representative rulers of Egypt and Joseph's house. Then the members of Jacob's family and relatives, only the children, did not attend. That seems a strange thing, doesn't it? Verse 7, And Joseph went up to bury his father, and with him went up all the servants of Pharaoh, the elders of his house, and all the elders of the land of Egypt, and all the house of Joseph and his brethren, and his father's house, only their little ones, and their flocks, and their herds, they left in the land of Goshen. And there went up with him both chariots and horsemen, and it was a very great company. And they came to the threshing floor of Atad, which is beyond Jordan, and there they mourned with a great and very sore lamentation, and he made a mourning for his father 7 days. And when the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, saw the mourning in the floor of Atad, they said, This is a grievous mourning to the Egyptians. Wherefore the name of it was called Abel Mizraim, which is beyond Jordan. And his sons did unto him according as he commanded them, for his sons carried him into the land of Canaan and buried him in the cave of the field of Machpelah, which Abraham bought with the field for a possession of a burying place of Ephron the Hittite before Mamre. Oh, what a procession of mourners. I wonder, was it possible that all these people were sent just in case that Joseph's brethren didn't want to come back? Don't you see God was moving from behind the scenes? Now, when they got back up into the land, and they viewed that land again, and remembered some of the experiences they had in the land, remembering what the promises involved, and how these promises were passed on to them, perhaps some of them could have made the suggestion, why go back to Egypt? Everything is all right here now. We could settle down here in the land of promise. The answer is, it was not God's time. Don't you see, God was still weaving the pattern. God was still working behind the scenes, and at this point, their little ones were not there. Their possessions were not with them. Their cattle and all that they had was still left down in the land of Goshen in Egypt. Not only so, but some of the Egyptians had come with them. Some of the representatives of the chief house, no doubt, were there. Some of the lawmakers were there. And so, therefore, they were paying great respects to Jacob, no doubt because of his son Joseph. And this great procession went up into the land of Canaan. And they came to the place. Again, I want to remind you, this was the end of a great era. Jacob was being buried, I don't suppose anyone else would ever again be buried in that place. You have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whose name is called Israel. And sometimes, you know, they refer to God as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Sometimes he's referred to as the God of Israel. Sometimes referred to as the God of our fathers. And here the three great patriarchs, all buried in the same tomb with their wives. And so therefore his sons have got to see him buried there in this place. Now remember, this was the land that had been promised to them by God. But this particular little spot where they buried them was the only part of the land that they really possessed. It was possessed because that Abraham paid for it. You will remember when his wife Sarah died, and he bought this field of the cave, and it was to be the burying place. Now, as they stood around there, these men knew this. They knew the facts. And no doubt as they buried their father there, their thoughts would go to the day when they themselves, if they believed God, would realize that they were going to possess the whole of this land. But it was not to be at that time. All they possessed was the burying place. Now, after they had come there, there was a great mourning. And even the people of the land watched them, and they realized that this man was some great man, because they could not understand that there they mourned with a great and very sore lamentation, and he made a mourning for his father 7 days. And the people of the land saw it, and they said, "This is a grievous mourning to the Egyptians." Now, after all, Jacob was not an Egyptian, but the people of the land didn't know that. You see, after all, Jacob, you will remember, descended from a Syrian. And then he was just a sojourner in the land. Now for 17 years he's been down in the land of Egypt. So when they came back, they would look like Egyptians, they'd be dressed like Egyptians, and many of the Egyptians were with them. And besides that, the form of the funeral seemed to be like the Egyptian style. They had had him embalmed, put in his coffin, in his casket. They had brought it back up. They had those seasons of mourning, and then they had the service when they put him into the cave, into the burying ground, into the grave. And so they looked and they said, "Why, this is a great mourning." My friend, it was a great mourning, but I remind you again that Jacob died a worshipper, worshipping the true God. And now after they have buried him, here is what we read. "And Joseph returned into Egypt, he and his brethren, and all that went up with him to bury his father, after he had buried his father." You'll notice again, Joseph took the whole responsibility here. Now, he was not the oldest, although it's perfectly true, he was the firstborn of Rachel. But then, the others were there who were older than him. And all the sons of Leah, they didn't take responsibility. It was Joseph here who paid the great respect, took the responsibility for the burying of Jacob. And now the whole focus in the closing part of the book of Genesis, the whole focus will be turned on Joseph. That will be our next lesson, to look at the closing part of this chapter. Again, I remind you, as they were traveling back down towards Egypt, no doubt Joseph again would be thinking of the time when he came down there, the time when he was sold by his brethren. But now all that is behind him. He has learned that God was working behind the scenes. God was preparing the way, and now he can give God thanks.